Welcome to Nerds Before Birds. Each week on the show, we take a look at a film and attempt to answer the question, does it soar like an eagle or simply flip the bird?
Welcome back!
It's almost on par with the actual Rotten Tomatoes Metacritic score.
Never seen a sonogram roll its eyes before, but it did.
I'll do my best to tell these two losers what happened.
Well, if you're still here, we do know things, don't worry.
If any movie is below 6 on IMDb, then it's probably not worth watching.
I always have what I want to say in my head. It's like, oh yeah, that's the perfect way to word it. It's not.
Hi, I'm Fiona.
Hi, I'm Fahdin.
What? And I'm Jason. Welcome to Nerds Before Birds, the podcast where you'll find reviews, rankings, and general discussion on all things film and pop culture. This week on the show, we're talking all about the 2020 film, Mulan, which is the, you know, the Disney Plus one now. It's out for everyone. It's not just for the premium members. So we decided that we thought it'd be a great idea to do it.
Because it's now available to us punters.
Yeah. People that didn't want to pay the full price for it.
But
speak for yourself.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Maybe
did somebody actually
know exactly
pay for it?
I paid for it. COVID hit me hard and... COVID hit me hard and I was like, I need to see a big blockbuster movie right now. I'm going to die.
And okay,
yep, so
man, those wedding jobs must be paying pretty well for you then.
Oh, no. I eat like mee goreng every night. No,
yeah. But yeah, you spend all your money on movies.
I do.
That makes sense.
So do I need to ask what you thought of this movie? Did you like it? Did it soar like an eagle or did it flip the bird? Fiona, like... after paying premium price.
Hang on.
Premium.
Premium.
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed. Like, it was a good movie, but, like, it's a kids' movie. Like, it's a good kids' movie. I wouldn't be like, oh, my gosh, this is my new favorite Disney movie, because it's definitely not at all.
Yeah.
And
cool.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Watching it a second time round for the podcast, I was extremely bored.
Right.
So bored.
Wow.
There were moments where
doesn't
I was
get better.
There were moments like on the lead up, like, which I was kind of thinking maybe I should just buy it and watch it, but then the reviews and like the people that had bought it and watched it had like kind of suggested that it was okay, but it wasn't $30 okay.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm just gonna wait and we'll watch it later. Are we going to just like not even mention or like
that Fiona's back?
Fiona's back. Hey, Fiona.
Oh, Paul's
not here.
Are we gonna like
I've been
just,
he's been replaced.
Are we just gonna ignore the fact that Paul's not here?
Yeah, look, it's a new year like this because this will actually air next year, but
I told you there were going to be changes this year. I told you Decent Bala had repercussions.
Pierre is now Paul's permanent replacement. Welcome to the team.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're rebranding. Welcome to Two Stones with One Bird. Now we're going
to... So, for anyone that's like panicking now that Paul's not here, he's not feeling well tonight. So
he'll be back.
Yeah, he'll be back. He'll be back. It's okay.
Fiona will
hopefully be back too. So
yeah.
All of Paul's preteen fangirls are devastated. Just tears everywhere.
Everyone's on team Paul. They're just really worried.
It's okay.
We're currently in negotiations to try to get both Fee and Paul in the same podcast.
They're currently screaming at their podcast app going, it's Nerds Before Birds! It's just Before Birds!
I'd ruin it.
Maybe, or, you know, but we'll see depending on birds.
So, you didn't like this movie, Dean, then? Like, getting back to the Mulan of what we'll talk about.
This, you know what, I absolutely genuinely love this movie based on the fact that Jared Butler was not in it. And it was,
thank the Lord.
So relieving. You have no idea.
Wow.
It's, I would agree with Fee. It's definitely
or was
not.
He? Just kidding.
Man, Mulan's sister looked really familiar. So It's definitely not the best Disney film. Definitely not the best live action Disney film. Which
for sure.
I think there's only a tiny handful of good live action Disney films in my opinion. Anyway, like the live action remakes.
Right.
I would love to hear your thoughts more on that.
The Jungle Book is awesome.
That's about the only one that I can think of that's actually good.
Yeah, mainly because it decides to do something very different with, and
but
I think
it's too different. Like it's still got the song, a few songs.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And Jon Favreau does a great job. I think it's mainly like the way that it's because the original animated film's so much older than the others. It's like
it was easier to superpass it. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. As opposed to say, you know, The Lion King, which is like not actually that old. You know, really, less than 20 years old.
This 90s round of remakes. It's like
The Lion King was the same movie, and these films are kind of like essentially the same as the animated versions. And so,
I rate Aladdin.
Okay,
because I really love Guy Ritchie. We did finally watch that the other night.
It's okay.
And I think, I was like, it's, you know, it's not actual Aladdin, but they made it. It's like, I thought the characters were unique enough that I could follow along with the new thing. Whereas Mulan, like here, I was like, oh my gosh, you're so boring. You're so one-dimensional. You're just like... replaced all the cool animated little animals with boring people.
Mm-hmm. And you added a phoenix for a reason. And
who knows?
Because it's like replacing the dragon that Eddie Murphy plays pretty much. But you know his name is Mushu. Don't act like you don't know his name is Mushu. I didn't remember his name actually.
It's just one of those things like, I may have fallen asleep the first time I watched this. I tried to watch this. I got halfway through and it was a big day.
It is two kids, right?
But it's also kind of boring.
For a movie that's not that long, it is a hard watch. And I agree. When it first began, I thought, oh, this might be okay. Like, it might be all right, like, as it progresses. But it gets to, like, pretty much when they get to, like, the army training and the movie just bombs. Like, it's horrendous. Oh. Or even when they're doing, like, the be a lady kind of thing with the old sort of woman that's, like, all backwards about everything kind of thing.
The matchmaker, that kind of stuff.
It's so annoying. It is definitely a slow-paced movie.
Yeah. It is. And there are some very awesome visuals throughout, but it's not enough to make it kind of like
work fully. They had a good cinematographer, but they needed a better director.
Who was the director? The biggest issue is like with any of these animated films is you are going to compare it to the animated film no matter what you do. And you know, 90% of the time the animated version, the original, is going to win out. Because they're very loved and they're very well done. But
the director is the Whale Rider. There you go.
Oh, Nikki Caro. So
it was okay, but definitely not up there on, you know. I'm glad I didn't pay $30 to watch it. I would say that. What did you think, Jace?
I think this movie would have been better as a musical.
Because, oh my gosh, right?
Like, seriously,
R.I.P. songs.
Yeah, because seriously, it sucks any life out of it. Mm-hmm. Because you don't have those musical moments that actually pad the screen time almost of the original. Because they're basically, like, to an extent, they've actually stayed fairly true to the main plot. But they've taken out all, like, the joy almost.
they just sucked it right out of there.
It's like, let's take out, like, you know, the musical elements and let's take out, all the comedic elements kind of thing. The Eddie Murphy comic relief. I reckon, I honestly think, so Jackie Chan did a version of I'll Make a Man Out of You, the song from the original Mulan.
Wait, what? And,
yeah. So, like, because Jackie Chan's a singer as well.
No way.
Yeah, yes.
Are you kidding?
Yes. No, I'm not kidding.
And you have to be making stuff up right now.
So
is there a music video?
There is a music video, and it's all in Chinese.
Oh, so exciting.
But it's fantastic. And I was like, okay. He could have come back Well, like, I don't think, like, he wasn't actually in the original Mulan, but...
No, yeah.
But he could have come in as one of the trainers and actually sung that song, and it would have been amazing. Like, and okay. This movie should have been in Chinese.
I'm so excited right now.
I think it would have been a better movie in Chinese as well.
I reckon too.
Yeah.
Like, I reckon I would have preferred to hear...
like Mandarin their kind
accent,
of thing.
Hear their accent in their language. Like,
yes.
It was like...
it's jarring.
Like almost...
Hey.
It's, yeah, super jarring to hear English in an Asian accent. Like, so not the native accent. Like language,
yeah. Yes.
Why?
So it feels like that they had put this barrier on themselves to like, you know, obviously reach a market.
Yeah.
But it was like, but if they were speaking their own language, their own language,
yeah,
it would flow and they would feel more
because it's like they've 100%. Not because they have definitely tried. Like they've gone right. We want to make this really authentic and embrace Japanese culture or Chinese culture, and then they've only gone halfway.
Yeah,
and they haven't committed. But I guess
they would not have been able to, like, make any money off of it if they'd done that.
Like,
but
I think movies like that can
still make money. Enjoyed it.
Like, I would have enjoyed it much more if it was in Chinese, but still a musical.
How good was Parasite?
Musical. Like, yeah, Parasite's fantastic.
Comparatively. Oh, like,
and something like that. Like Parasite proves that a foreign film...
You can actually watch it and enjoy it even if it has subtitles.
And watch
is that
it
what you're saying?
And it can still translate very well to an international market kind of thing.
I mean, everyone knows my opinions on subtitles in film, but that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, I know. But I know you're lazy and you don't like reading. I do understand that because it's more participation from an English-speaking viewer. But I think that would benefit this movie because it's so dull otherwise.
I agree.
And you'd actually be forced into dull. Reading as
I
well as
I would have loved to see them speaking Mandarin and just embracing that for sure.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah.
I actually read somebody did a blog post about all the major differences between the animated and the live action.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the things they were saying was that Mulan pretty much doesn't have a character arc in the live action one.
No, she doesn't. No, she's
because she's just she's just born amazing with this amazing gift, and she's the only character arc is I'm not gonna hide it anymore.
Yeah, exactly. But
character arc in the
animated version, it was I had to, you know, grow and better myself and
and she had to overcome the time as well and she did it all on her own merit kind of thing.
Merit,
and that's where I think it's a much better character arc because she's striving to prove that she's worth something, and there's value in that. Like the fact that she succeeds in the end, you're like, yes, that's fantastic. Yep. You've seen her overcome this incredible obstacle kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's a better story arc.
Yeah.
But
100%.
And it's more relatable as well.
Yes.
Because it's you're not, you know, you have to build yourself. You have to learn. You have to keep fighting to be the best. And it's basically a film that was made 22 years ago speaks more truth to today than this version.
It totally does. Yeah. And I think just from a female perspective that, you know, when she's they're singing, I'll make a man out of you. And she's all becoming a ninja and whatever. Okay. Not a ninja. Sorry if that's racist. but she's getting skills.
Yeah.
And the whole thing in the animated thing is you have to reach the top of this pole.
Yes,
you have to climb up the pole at dawn, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the live action, it's you have to walk up this hill
with some buckets
of water. Really, it's really heavy and you have to hold your arms out straight.
Yeah.
But it's pretty much all about brute strength kind of or whatever.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
So in the original, she uses her brain.
She thinks outside
and
the box.
And figures out a way that she's going to use her skills and her lightweightedness to her advantage instead of I can't climb because I'm not as strong as all these
that's
other men.
So
she's
true.
I'm actually going to use what I have, not change anything about me, but accept my own skill set and use it.
And that whereas is actually going to be my strength in the end.
Exactly.
Because
she adapts
and
to
then,
it.
Yeah. Exactly. But then this live action movie is Well, I guess she just got really strong.
She used her chi. Because it's her chi. Like, that's the whole thing. It's like, yeah, I've got a secret superpower that I can use. Like, that's pretty much it. She's a superhero, but everyone else doesn't know about it. Kind of thing, until she decides that they can know about it, like, in the first battle.
She's the first Avenger.
She's the first Avenger.
She literally is.
So, 17th century China.
Yes, like, and also responsible for a lot of deaths. Gotta say,
on her own side as well, probably.
Yes,
with that avalanche.
Yes, mass genocide. Apparently, there was a rating thing that I heard about. Like, out of all the Disney princesses, Mulan has the highest death toll.
By a couple of thousand, a couple of hundred.
So,
yes,
there you
Mulan.
Go, Mulan. Yeah, Mulan, represent.
So we'll get into the plot, but for anyone that's seen like the 1998 version, it's pretty much the same sort of thing. So
but Mulan's in live like action.
But live action, that's the only thing. So Mulan's
which makes her pretending to be a man even more believable, saying.
Yes. So she lives in Imperial China and she's like got a lot of chi. As we're told, like, but she's got to hide her chi because it's
explain what chi is. Sorry,
I don't know.
Can you explain what chi is?
Well, I was
it's a superpower. It's midichlorians.
It's a superpower in this. It's basically the force.
It is.
Yeah. So she has a higher count of chi in her bloodstream.
Yes, basically.
It's midichlorians. That's what it is.
So she's told that she can't like display her her abilities basically, and she's got to be more womanly kind of thing and more of a stereotypical sort of lady of the time kind of thing, like submissive, all that kind of stuff.
That's basically it.
So then she like it goes to when she's older and she's being forced into meeting with a matchmaker, which she's not really too keen about, but they dress her all up and with makeup and everything so that she can go meet with this matchmaker that will find her a husband. And
woohoo!
It goes terribly wrong for reasons. It's basically like, I don't fully get this. Like, she's just the character of the matchmaker is basically just an angry old lady. And
yeah, well, she was
Mulan
in the cartoon
doesn't even
as well.
Do anything wrong though.
No,
like, but yeah, she was funny in the cartoon.
She was funny in the cartoon. Yes. I mean, the animated films have this room for character, like, you know,
as we've said, all the joy got sucked out of this
really
movie.
Does. So suddenly she's not funny and like this, you know, larger than life character. She's just a mean old angry woman.
Yeah, and it's just like you can see, you know how the scene's gonna play out. Mulan's going to do something that obviously offends her and all that kind of stuff, and it's just going to spiral, and then she's going to be like, oh, she'll never be a lady kind of thing and run away kind of thing.
Almost like we've seen it in a movie before. But
it's almost like that. But because like the setup doesn't really work because it's so over the top, and even though they're still going for this period accurate sort of piece, it doesn't work because some of these moments are so larger than life that it, like it doesn't gel with the movie. Like I feel like this movie, it doesn't know what it wants kind of thing. Cause at one instance, it wants to be this like real sort of, period piece, but then you have like the witch that turns into like a crow.
Oh,
like
so
a,
random,
not a crow,
right?
But an eagle and all
the
those kind of things. Like
falcon thing, whatever that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
no, I'm it's like, give us Eddie Murphy. Come on.
Yeah. And then
so we want.
Like, the phoenix that like randomly appears out of like in random scenes kind of thing.
Was it meant
anything.
To be invisible? Like,
I think so. I think it was
phoenix.
Like in her head, right? Like the phoenix, yeah. But
I feel like it's
so
it could be like a hidden kind of like maybe the chi is actually like a tumor or something. And she's just like, it's a brain
like
tumor. And she's going
to
the
Scrubs where they have like the musical episode where
it's all in your head.
Just
you're getting delirious. You're imagining things. Yeah. You need to see a doctor.
Yeah.
It's maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
So basically,
yeah, no one else sees it.
Yeah, around about the same time, to the north of where Mulan lives, there is an Imperial outpost and it's invaded by Roran. I think that's how you say it. Warriors? How do you say that word? Roran?
What's the word?
Roran? I don't know. The Warriors. But like this, I mean, in the original cartoon, it was what was it? I was just thinking the song.
The Mongolians, right?
The Isn't Huns. It? No, it was the Huns.
The Huns, sorry, the Huns.
The Huns. The Huns.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, because it's yes. part of the song, the songs kind of thing. And I mean, like, this is more accurate to the time because the Huns were, like, in a different time period kind of thing than what the Mulan's actually set. And that's why they went with this. And, I mean, like, Mulan is kind of like, you know, the Robin Hood of China. It's such a like iconic legend that there's sort of there's this idea that it might actually be real kind of thing, and they try and sort of don't believe that it is real because I think if this actually happened, this person's dead, like for sure. If she went into the army, yeah, Mulan in real life, she would have died, I reckon.
Yeah, but
like, I don't know.
Maybe
like
she
did
have
be-
that much chi.
Maybe, there could just, or there could just be like a small element of truth to that story. Like,
yeah.
Because there's Joan of Arc and that, if you that's watch true. The movie, yeah.
true.
If you watch the movie, it's
Which
like,
movie?
Oh, that's crazy. I don't know, the 90s one or early 2000s one.
The one.
But she like actually never went into battle. Like, so she, you know, just led people, just motivated them from a military's perspective, but she actually never like fought because obviously she was like a 19-year-old girl.
Something like that. Whereas like she maybe there was a girl called Mulan who did enlist in the war as a boy.
Yeah,
as a man.
Maybe.
And then
maybe
she got caught out before she went to battle, but she's like, I still want to fight, and they're like, okay,
I just,
well
like,
then
I
you
feel
can
like
lead people.
Where it really falls into real fiction is when like she basically comes out and says that she's a girl kind of thing, and everyone's like, at first they're like, oh no, you're exiled kind of thing, but then afterwards they're like, no, you're in, we're okay with this kind of thing.
You're my best friend.
You're my best friend. Now lead our army. That's where like it really falls into fiction. Because I was like, these people are not going to change.
Have you met
their-
men?
That's not going to change
too
overnight.
Easy.
They do not change. You cannot do that.
Have you ever spoken to a man? Sorry.
Oh, wow.
They change so quickly.
Yeah.
So, like, man, I just don't see so that to happening kind of thing in the scenario. Like, sure, maybe it did, but I don't buy it.
Not like this.
That's
no.
like
this.
The most unbelievable thing in this, and we have a person like a witch turning into
the most, the most unbelievable thing is the group of men believing and forgiving a woman.
In a woman.
But the thing about it is like how quick the change is as well. Like, it's so quick.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that. So basically, around about this time, a bunch of like soldiers come into the village that Mulan's living in, and they're basically choosing everyone to, like, forcing all the men to enlist, and every household has to have one representative, a male representative, to come and fight. So her father, who only has two daughters, is like, yes, I'm going to fight, even though he's very old and
he's
clearly just
going
to die. Yeah, basically.
Obviously, got a very bad leg.
So someone pointed out online on one of the videos that I was watching is like, he would go to the training camp and he would fail miserably and he'd get exiled. Because like he'd get expelled.
Then you get back.
Yeah.
But I think once you get exiled, like your family doesn't want you anymore.
Yeah, I think like, there's a whole thing.
Depressing.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean
But would, do you think that would actually happen? But like he comes back saying, oh, I didn't make it. And Milan's like, oh, sorry, Dad. See you later.
Yeah. Yeah. You're sleeping outside tonight, Dad.
You're sleeping outside. Thanks for teaching me how to use my chi, old man.
Old man who I don't know anymore. I think he used to be my father. I'm not sure.
Jeez. There is actually, speaking of the chi thing and the father thing, there is a scene, I think it's like pretty much the first scene when Milan's a young girl, which make me like smile quite a bit, which is when she falls off the roof and then catches herself and does the whole like trick. And then because there's like the whole Milan get down from there and she trips and then she's facing off with the village that she's just like run amok in. And everyone's like super shocked and annoyed at her. And then her dad's just sitting there and has like that little cheeky smile. I'm really proud. And
I'm
like,
really proud, those, but like, I can't show it.
I can so relate to that. It's like, look, I'm so like, you're in trouble. What you did was wrong.
Yeah.
But man, it was very intelligent.
Man, my daughter like gives me that look like, and like, you just can't, hey.
No, like, you can't.
Like you try, my daughter did it to me actually today.
Mm.
So she's only a year and a half old, but, she wanted to watch TV and she kept going up close to the TV and I'm like, no, you can't, can't be standing so close to the TV. And I just like, eventually I'm like, I'm going to turn it off because you're standing too close to the TV because she kept like hitting the TV and everything.
Yeah.
So I turned it off and she looked at me and she gave me that look that I was like, I'm going to turn the TV on.
Were you intimidated for one and a half years, or was it like you've broken my heart?
Like, how could you do this to me, Dad?
Yeah,
you were the worst person, and I'm like, I am the worst person. I'm turning the TV back on. No, I didn't actually,
I'm talking about like the times when the kids, they do something very wrong.
And they're really cheeky.
But it's like in a very, like specifically like this when, you know, it's like you got to get off and like they like jump off something. It's like, look, that was dangerous. You're in trouble for doing that. And then like Sigurd's like, but man, you aced that landing. It was amazing.
Yes. I know that feeling too. I'm actually kind of impressed right now.
I'm really impressed.
Yeah. I'm really impressed, but that was very dangerous.
Wrong. You time out, but good work.
So she basically is like, nah, my dad's not gonna go to the army. I'm gonna sneak out during the night and pretend to be a man. And I know full well that my dad's not going to come because it will be it will be dishonorable and all that kind of stuff to expose me. And there's all that kind of cultural things at play that would stop him from doing it. So she goes to the training camps and this is where like we get this really nice pep talk from, I think it's Donnie Yen. Comes in,
yes,
and he gives the pep talk, and he's like, basically, if you do a bunch of stuff, it's punishable by death, but some other stuff is punishable by expulsion. But nobody dies in this, so like, you know, no one actually gets the death penalty.
No,
which I was like,
they should have
probably
pretty especially well that guy
cheating.
Disney kids need to learn how the world is.
Well, I'm pretty sure nobody died in this whole movie because there's like
no one,
basically,
not a single person.
No blood.
We
at
didn't
all,
see any bodies,
for,
did we?
Well,
oh, actually, we saw a lot of bodies,
but no blood.
Yeah. Like, no blood.
Like
no blood.
People getting like arrows, but nobody bleeds.
No, and like those dismembered heads could have come from anywhere, you know?
Yeah. They were there when they got there.
They were there when they got there. Who knows? Yeah. I don't think you just see the helmets, don't you? No heads.
I think so. I think it's just helmets. Yeah. Yeah. It's more like, you know, when you see like stormtrooper helmets kind of on the ground and you don't sort of associate that there's probably a head inside
of it. Probably a head inside that.
There's like there's that meme of Boba Fett.
The Ewoks? Like,
young Boba Fett picking up the helmet. Jango Fett. Is it Jango Fett?
Yeah, Jango Fett. And the head falls
and
out.
And the head falling out kind of thing.
Oh.
Someone's like, someone's like comped it in and I'm like, Mm-hmm. That is so true, because you don't think of that when he's like picking it up. It's like the big dramatic moment. But there's a head in there.
It's like, at the end of Return of the Jedi when the Ewoks are like drumming using their stormtrooper helmets as drums. It's like, what happened to those stormtroopers? The Ewoks ate them. And they're using their severed heads as drums.
Because the Ewoks like actually like they eat humans, right?
They were going to eat Luke and Han.
Yes, that's right. But nobody
thinks
about that. Yeah, yeah.
No one thinks about that.
They will just roast them on a fire.
They're so cute. Ewoks are so cute. What the heck?
I think we just ruined Star Wars for you, didn't we?
Yeah. I don't think. I think J.J. Abrams did that. So.
Whoops. Yeah. Whoops. Let's put that rock back.
So we get basically a training montage, and we get is it Jimmy Wong in this as well? No songs.
But we do get a who's Jimmy Wong? Talk about that.
Jimmy Wong, Freddie Wong's brother.
Yeah.
So
as in Rocket Jump?
Yeah.
Rocket Jump? Video Game High School. The thing, the precursor to Corridor Digital. YouTube. Heard of YouTube?
The internet.
Look, guys. No.
maybe it's just the thing that we know, Jace. Maybe because we know Corridor and we know Rocket Jump and Freddie Wong.
When he came on
Jimmy
screen,
Wong's
was like,
a much bigger thing for us.
I was like, is that Jimmy Wong?
It was Jimmy Wong.
And I was so shocked when he came on screen, but but yeah, like, he doesn't really have much of a role in this. And Jet Li's in this as well, which I was shocked by. He's the Emperor.
Emperor.
Oh,
he's looking pretty
you're joking.
Old. Yeah.
Nope. He's pretty fat. Like,
he's getting old.
I was trying to
figure out. Like,
no, but like, when you think, did you say Jet Li?
Yeah.
Jet Li. Yeah.
Yeah. When you think Jet Li, you just think like the skinny, ripped guy.
Mm.
Yes.
Obviously, no longer.
Well, Bori Khan, the guy who plays the bad guy in this, Jason Scott Lee, that's Bruce Lee's grandson.
No, he's not. He's not related.
Yeah, he is.
No, he's not.
Shut up.
He's got the same last name, but he's not related. He played Bruce Lee. Yeah, I actually thought it for a long time, and I actually, because I remember
racist.
Thinking.
And so.
No, they got the same last name. I get why you think it.
Yeah.
And he also played Bruce Lee in.
I genuinely in thought Dragon, he was Brandon Bruce Lee's story. Son. For
no,
some reason.
No, no. That's,
no, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. So I actually thought he was related somehow before as well.
Mm.
But because I think it's like your mind does tricks on you because he played Bruce Lee and his last name is also Lee, you kind of go, maybe he's related kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you sort of just blend the two because it's
nope,
that. But
definitely not.
But yeah.
It happens a lot in Hollywood, doesn't it?
Speaking of related and like China.
Yeah.
Did you know that Genghis Khan is like responsible for like
10%
of like China? Yeah. Like today? Yeah, like that's nuts.
He pulled that number out of Yes, he did.
Like relate back to Genghis Khan.
Hmm.
Yeah, really? Like so many people. Yeah. Because he just like dominated world and could have used a different
dispersed
word. But literally
quite generously.
Well, his whole thing was like ransacking villages, right?
Yeah.
According to Google, there are 16 million descendants of Genghis Khan.
Oh my gosh.
16 million.
Gosh.
Getting back to this movie, where were we? So, like, yeah, okay. So there is also Jason Scott Lee. He's the bad guy in this, and he's joined by a Lee Gong who what's her character's name? I can't remember.
Mulan.
No, not Mulan. What? So she's like this witch that is basically going with Bori
Khan.
And she basically, she's the one that transforms into an eagle and that and is able to transform into other people as well. And so mm-hmm. she sort of helps him in all of his battles and that as well.
Xiang Yang or something?
And she exists for no reason.
She exists for no reason. And there's one point where like they're literally trying to kill the emperor at the end of the movie, which mm-hmm. I thought was the dumbest thing ever, because at the beginning of the movie, she infiltrates like the palace or whatever. Is
yes
within like, you know, 100 feet of the emperor, could easily kill him.
Yeah, the whole, doesn't think that way. Because she's also a shapeshifter.
Yeah,
she can change into whatever and whoever she wants to.
See,
what stopped her from killing the emperor there and taking on his identity? Like, you know,
I don't know. Like, it doesn't make sense at all. And like this whole movie would
keep him alive,
kind of thing.
She needs like an assassin life coach. Like,
yeah.
I see what you're going for. We just let's workshop a few different strategies.
Short game, not the long game.
Yeah, yeah.
I love your passion. You're just doing a little bit wrong.
Yeah. Your input is not measuring up to your output. We got to see some results here.
Look, this budget is currently like, you know, you're playing like 3 months worth of work here. Mm. We could do it in maybe 2 days. Let's try and like trim it back. We'll just reduce the overhead. We'll go straight to killing the emperor, and then it should be fine.
You're performing at around 30%. We want you to be hitting like a 90%.
Your current ROI is just abysmal.
I appreciate, understand, like, you know, you want, like, you feel like you need a pay rise, but let's hit that 90-100% and then we'll talk.
So there is a battle that they have where Borikhan's army basically lure them away from where the emperor is staying, kind of thing, and they have this battle. And it's the first battle that Mulan's involved in. And then I feel like she gets like transported into like some pickup shots because there's a moment where she chases after the army, and then sort of suddenly gets transported into these like rocky mountainside with all this mist around it.
Yeah, it's and like these it's murky completely green away waters from and
everything
stuff.
Else. It's uh-huh. like a nice green screen sort of set of some sort. And then she has a face off with the witch of Borikhan's witch, kind of thing. And Borikhan's witch immediately recognizes that she's a woman and not a man like she's been parading around pretending to be, kind of thing. And she's like, you need to embrace who you are, to really mm-hmm. embrace your chi. Yeah,
and
to,
suddenly in that second, Xiang Yang becomes the most relatable character in this movie, by being able to tell that Mulan is not a man.
Because nobody's been able to do it so
no
far.
No one else.
Like, because she doesn't shower for like a month or something, and then eventually
bath. And her man voice is like so convincing.
It's so convincing.
So
on point 100% of the time. And it doesn't drop ever.
And then so she's like basically she's won over her little regiment during this time by like through the montage basically showing them how good she is, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she comes back as a lady out of the rock, it's like, whoa, with her hair down, and
but the witch lady said I'd be accepted.
Well, no, she said she wouldn't be accepted, didn't she, or something like that. I don't know what she said. She basically said you can't use your chi unless you like
True
to who you are, kind of thing, or something like that.
This is the point I fell asleep in.
This is like because like the moment of like this is like meant to be this pinnacle moment of her embracing who she is. It doesn't work because there's no lead up to it.
No,
there's no like I get like there is like one or two things where it's like because they reiterate the three things like the loyalty, bravery or whatever and truth or whatever the three things are. I can't even remember what they are now. But but and she keeps going truth kind of thing and what is true and I'm living a lie and going through all that kind of thing.
But like in the run over to the back over to the fight.
No, like, no. Is that what that's basically what when it happens. No, when she's going through the training, she's like feeling guilty about that kind of thing.
The guilt is eating her up.
Guilt is eating her up. But we don't really, like, there's no real conflict. See it. It's like there's one or two scenes where they hint on it, but it's like, now she's like, okay, this is my first battle. I'm going to show that I'm actually a woman kind of thing. And that's it. That's what she does.
I know. Sort of that's thing. It. So dumb.
I was just bless you. I was gonna say it's essentially like she has one, like it's pretty much the one time she's been knocked down by this witch woman, and then they have a talking to her, and then suddenly it's like she, even though she's been doing a pretty darn good job of hiding the fact that she's a woman. This whole time, just like, you know what? That one scene is all it took me to, that's it.
Yeah, now literally, yep.
It like, just, it does no, happen very quickly.
It's and very it's so boring. So she goes back to the battle because like the battle's still going on. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No? We have to talk about how much better the animated version was in revealing who she was, her identity.
I don't remember it.
It was so good.
Yeah. She was injured, right?
And they have like this epic battle. I'm pretty sure it's been a while, but they have this epic battle and the avalanche happens and it's like legit. And there's like a cliff and everyone could almost die. And the stakes are like actually real, not just like, hey, we're on a soundstage, like hitting each other.
Yeah. And it's an accident, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an accident. So her helmet falls off or whatever. And like, and then pretty much like, I'm pretty sure she just gets caught like, undressed basically like with the shirt open and then she's just like bound up her torso
I believe
and then they're all like, oh my gosh, you have boobs which is way more actual, like exposing and more dramatic like it's more
vulnerable
like
too.
I didn't it's want not, to be here and now there's conflict because I actually
she doesn't it's like it's not her choice.
Yes, and literally the whole plot of the movie is she's hiding herself. So for her to come out now and be like, actually, I am just, you know, going to do this. It's like, but what kind of story?
It like loses the who whole, are you? The whole motivation of everything that she's been doing beforehand too.
It's like, I don't quite remember that specific line in the animated film, the oh my gosh, you have boobs, but it definitely does go down.
It feels like
just trust me, Dean. Just trust me.
But no, it is because it's like it's suddenly because at that point she's actually succeeding in what she's trying to do and like her mission.
I'm pretty sure there's a whole song about it, Dean.
There is. I'm sure there is.
Oh my gosh, you've got boobs.
You've got boobs. Be a man. Reprise. and then because it's like it's suddenly it becomes no longer her decision, it's now suddenly the the darkest day for her because she's even though she's been trying, like she's been doing everything right like according to her plan, now suddenly this massive thing comes in like kicks her feet out from underneath her.
Yeah, and it feels like the mounting pressure and mounting obstacles getting greater for the character so that there's more for her to overcome. And therefore it's a more interesting plot than her just going, you know what, I'm just gonna take off my armor and show that I'm a woman. That's like,
oh my gosh, I have boobs.
Yeah. There you go. It just doesn't make sense. And then you have the most stupidest battle scene where everyone's like huddled together and they're like hiding from these big boulders that are like getting rained down.
Catapulted.
On them, like, catapulted fire boulders kind of thing. And she's like on the battlefield, but then she like transports herself like within 2 seconds behind the attacking army.
With her chi.
Yeah, with her chi. Like it's like literally she's on the battlefield.
Teleportation. And then the next
shot is her like firing arrows from behind the what? Enemy lines kind of thing. Like, it is literally like
Harry Potter.
It's so quick. And then right. She's up above them, got the high ground, shooting down on them. And then they're like, oh, there's people up above us kind of thing, because she'd collected a few helmets and placed them around on rocks in like the 2 seconds that she transported behind the enemy lines. She had about 10 different helmets.
She is that good.
Yeah, she's that good. So they turn around with their catapults and they catapult them up the mountain, forcing an avalanche down.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Taking out their whole army, because that's mm-hmm. the smartest move ever. And also taking out part of her army, but she's able to, like, you know, save a few of them.
This is a different battle that we're talking about, isn't it?
It's the first battle. Like, this all happens
this
in the one
the
battle.
First battle?
She chases after the witch and then she comes back in the same battle.
And they're still fighting.
They're still fighting. Yeah. It's all in the one thing.
There's only one battle out in the countryside.
It feels like two or three, because it starts on the battlefield. She chases after Bori Khan and the witch meet up in the mountains where it's like back. This pickup shoot that feels like completely different. And then she comes mm-hmm. back to the battlefield where they're all still mm-hmm. fighting and they're all pinned down kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Which, when she gets back to the battlefield, she's like, you know, she's showing that she's a woman and she's gone through fighting and all that kind of stuff. Mm. But it would have been way more interesting if she have just gone to like straight behind them or something like that instead of going.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, it was literally so you could see her doing something really cool on the battlefield, but it makes more sense that she'd go behind and maybe take them out from behind or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, flank the enemy forces kind of thing. But yeah, so they all find out that she's a woman, and they're like, oh, no. So we're going to give you expulsion of death. But they're like, this is a Disney movie, so you're having an expulsion. So they expel her, and she rides off into a desert somewhere, and she has another meetup with the witch, who's like, you know what? I've got an easy out for your predicament. I'm going to give you some of the plans of my... of Bori Khan, basically.
I'm just going to be on your side now.
I'm just going to be on your side now, basically. Yeah. So she's like, you know what we're doing? We're actually, like, taking you away from the emperor. Now the emperor's in danger kind of thing, and gives her a reason to go back to the whole thing, which makes no sense at all that she's helping here. Like, because I know
just
that,
I thought I was doing the right thing, but now I realize you're the only other female in this movie.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
I'll stick
that's
with
right.
you.
So, yeah, and we got to stick together.
We should stick together.
Because, you know, my character can change, mm-hmm. like, so quickly. Like,
yes.
That's what I'm doing mm-hmm. now kind of thing. So, she goes back to the training camp, and she happens to tell Donnie Yen at the same time as, like, her whole regiment is, like, beside him, which is very fortunate, you know, like, they've got, like, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe 200 men there or something like that, and her regiment just happened to be there at the right time to overhear her saying that the emperor's in trouble kind of thing, and they all need to go and stop him from getting killed, and they're like, hey, I believe in Mulan, and they have their whole Spartacus moment.
I believe in Mulan. Yeah,
I believe in Mulan too.
Kind of thing. Captain, my captain.
Yeah, she's been lying to us the whole time, but she wouldn't lie again. But yeah. So,
what's that George W. Bush quote? It's like, fool me once. Shame on you.
Fool me twice.
Shame me another time.
Yeah, it's like he just like forgets his whole like sentence.
I don't get fooled again.
So Donnie Yen's like, you know what? You brought dishonor to us, but forget about that. Now lead us into the Imperial City. You're the leader now. Like, she gets like promoted in this moment.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's like... Wait, what?
Just like in real life.
Just in real life. The only penalties are either death, expulsion, or promotion. We'll see which one you get.
Yeah.
We're going to flip a coin and we'll see. That's how it works. Hey, it looks like you got promotion today.
Congratulations. Oh, man. So, aren't you glad you stole that loaf of bread?
Yeah. So they go to the Imperial City and they basically at the same time the Emperor finds out that Borokan's coming to fight him, and he like goes out to meet him for some reason. It's a trap.
He's a badass kind of mother. Thing. Don't take no crap from nobody.
Yeah, because he's Jet Li. Like, and literally, you don't cast Jet Li unless you're going to have him do something.
Yeah, no.
And, like, he goes and does some kung fu kind of thing. And then, like, all of his men get killed, and then he gets tied up. Kind of. So, Mulan and her small regiment go into the
palace,
mm-hmm. and they find the Emperor's still there, but it's not actually the Emperor, it's the witch in disguise. And she transforms, and Mulan's like, I'm proof that, you know, women can actually thrive in this world.
Yeah, we can be accepted. Look, all my bros accept me now. Yeah,
all my bros accept me because, you know, I had like 5 seconds away and they're okay because with it now.
I only lied to them once and I won't lie to them again. I completely forgot about the whole like battle bit. I'm watching it back now. And like, so an hour, 7 minutes and 40 seconds is when she's standing on the battlefield. And seeing like all her, you know, brothers in arms kind of like getting, you know, forced down. And so she whistles for a horse.
Yep.
An hour, 7 minutes, 51. Horse comes over. That's it. Yeah. And then she's on the horse a minute, 7:55, picking up helmets. And then suddenly at 1 hour, 8 minutes, and 1 second, she's behind the army.
Like in that scene, I want to see the wide shot of like all the soldiers just watching this one person in a red dress ride around behind
them. How did she get there? And how is everyone not dead by the time she gets there? How is she not dead?
How did someone not, like, one archer would have just taken her out kind of thing? What, you know, like, this red dress go across the battlefield?
And you are right. There are a lot of helmets that she's managed to pick up as well.
Like, that's a lot. There's probably multiple trips.
I don't think she was riding in a straight line.
yes, nuts. It is a bad edit.
That's a terrible, very bad edit. Yes. Anyway, moving on now.
Yeah, anyway, so she's in the palace and the witch reveals herself to be the emperor kind of thing. Like, she transforms and she's like, you know what, we've had two convos and I'm convinced that I'm a changed woman now. There's years of resentment of living in like a male-led society that's oppressed me. I'm like, all that frustration's all gone. I'm going to help
gone
you now.
Gone now. Yeah. Don't need it anymore.
I came in. I misled the emperor and I took the crown, but that was only just to let you know that I'm really interested in joining you. There's something.
So, she's like,
all my undealt with trauma. All my undealt with trauma has just been dealt with by you. So Mulan should really go into business after this as like, a well-being counselor. Yeah, a psychologist.
yes, for sure.
Just helping people. Yeah, immediately.
Yeah. So the witch is like, here you go, like, follow me this way kind of thing, basically. Mm-hmm. And leads her straight to Borokan, and Borokan, like, at the last moment's like, I realize that you've led her here kind of thing.
Betrayed me.
Betrayed me kind of thing. He goes to shoot Mulan with an arrow as she's running towards him. And the witch is like, I'm going to protect Mulan, this person I've met. Three times.
The besties now.
My girl Mulan.
Yeah. My bestie.
My bestie.
She like dives in front of the arrow and and dies. I was actually thinking that this would go a slightly different way because I was thinking she'd catch the arrow, like Mulan would catch the arrow.
And I
was like, everyone was catching arrows in this movie.
Everyone was catching arrows. Everyone.
It was a bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it would have been way cooler than like this. What happened?
That's
here.
True.
This
that is
terrible.
True.
Yes, so,
but at least someone died.
That's
at
true.
Least someone didn't catch an arrow.
Yeah.
And
she,
there's that
she does catch it in a way.
That's actually everyone was catching arrows with their hands, with their bodies, with their
with their chest, their arms, with their legs,
with their head.
So she falls to the ground and she's like, I don't know, says some speech about like your chi or something. I don't know. I don't remember.
Oh,
what it was.
It's like now I can be accepted for who I am.
Yeah, that's right. I'm dead.
Basically. Jeez.
So yeah, she dies, and that's sort of like the end of her character. And then Mulan's like, yeah, I'm gonna go take out Bori Khan. So that's sort of basically what she does. It's very it happens
that
what happens. I don't know, like they have like this whole thing,
she goes up there, the Emperor's still tied up.
It is so stupid. So she's got like, there's that thing where there's like one massive beam that's being hung over the top of everything.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
All the like scaffolding, because there's always like a scaffolding in a fight. Yeah. Like, just no matter what century you're in, like, we'll just make it out of bamboo. It'll be fun.
It's one of those quintessential things.
Yeah,
for
completely.
Kung Fu movies.
Completely.
You need to have a fight on scaffolding. That's
and
where,
it
that's
makes no sense.
Where the fighting happens.
That they both jump onto this one beam that's been suspended like a seesaw above this whole thing. I'm like, one of them jumps on and then the other one's like, yes, I'm going to jump on too.
Where is it attached to?
I don't know.
Do like we ever? Some crane it's just of hanging some from the air. Like,
yeah. Interesting.
So
the magic seesaw.
It is a magic seesaw. And
maybe
I'm like,
it's just hanging off by chi.
maybe.
That's
so
it.
So I was like, wouldn't you just grab one end of that? Whoever's standing on it first has clearly lost. If you just grab it and pull it down a little bit,
oh yeah,
they're off. Like,
oh, you just do that.
Shake it. You don't even have to. Or you just try and cut the rope. Like, like they should have cut the rope as soon as they got on. Like, she does eventually do that, right?
Yeah, she does.
Yeah,
it takes her a while,
doesn't
though.
Make sense though.
But
and then he dies.
None of the physics in this movie makes sense.
No, because it's sort of like in that like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, or Hero kind of thing where they're doing all the floating kung fu, which it's fine if it wasn't meant to be like so grounded in some sort of reality.
True.
And that's where it doesn't work. Because
I know. It's like if you've got to do all the like floating in the air kung fu, then give us Mushu and
give us songs. Do it all. Actually,
that's
like,
all
commit to it. Like, give us some joy.
That makes sense. That makes complete sense. Either go full Crouching Tiger or like, you know,
Hero is a fantastic movie.
Okay.
And that's where like you get like that whole, I don't know if you guys have ever seen Hero, but it's so good. And it's like it's basically I think it's Jet Li telling this story about how he's defeated three different enemies of the Emperor, and each time he tells one of the stories, he's allowed to get closer and closer to the Emperor because like he's getting more and more trust with the Emperor, kind of thing. And that's basically the whole movie. But the fight scenes are just amazing, and the color schemes for each fight scene is just really well done. And yeah, I think it's a better movie than Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, but it's less known than Hidden Dragon.
Are they by the same director at all, or something?
No? But it's got a very similar style. That sort of like floaty kung fu kind of movies.
Floaty
kind of
kung fu.
So, yeah, I don't know what the actual correct term is for it, but yeah. So there is an actual term for that style of filmmaking where it's like all the wire work that they do with all the martial arts and everything. but I can't remember what the term is anyways. So Jason Scott Lee, he gets cut off the floating beam and he falls to the ground. And then she unties Jet Li and Jason Scott Lee wakes up for a split second, just enough to like fire an arrow. But then, is it Jet Li or is it Mulan that kicks the arrow? Like, or they do like some sort of alley hoop kind of situation.
He catches it because the arrow is coming to him. Yeah. He catches it and then he's like, I'm going to toss this up in the air like a baseball.
Yeah.
And then
I'm going to kick it kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a full like Shaolin soccer movie.
It is. Moment
kind of thing.
It is.
It doesn't work.
It does because chi. Tends to be the answer to
anything
physics defying thing in this movie.
So Jason Scott Lee dies, and and that's pretty much the end of everything. And then everyone's home. Mulan's like she's honorable now, and it's all good. Everything she done is good, like because she's. She's really good at what she does. She's a good soldier, all this kind of stuff. The emperor's like, I want you to join the guard, my personal guard. And she's like, no, I've got to go home because I've dishonored my family and I've got to go and make amends with them. And they're like, okay, so you go home. And so she goes home and there's a whole moment with her family and everything. And then everyone comes in and they honor her as a soldier.
Fun fact, before we get home... you know, when she's walking in up before the emperor, like at the end, and there's that like random Asian lady that's all like super dressed up and she's like, this is Mulan. And then she's like out of there.
Yes.
She's the original voice of Mulan, like in the 1998. Yeah.
Yes, she was. And she was originally going to play the mother, but she had like scheduling conflicts and stuff. She wasn't able to play.
Ming-Na Wen.
Yeah, her.
Yeah. Cool. Ming-Na Wen, yeah. She's in The Mandalorian at the moment.
Oh, there you go. That's probably why.
Hmm?
That's probably why she couldn't be in Mulan.
Probably. She's actually now become a recurring character, which is pretty awesome. And she was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fennec Shand, that's her name.
Yep.
Fennec Shand in The Mandalorian. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
So then Mulan is at home and she's like, hey, sorry, everybody, I was a... dude, now I'm a girl again.
Sorry, I was a dude. Sorry. Which is something that you don't often hear. You don't hear enough.
You don't hear enough.
Yeah. And so she's like, I'm sorry I left and all this stuff. And then right on time, Donnie Yen and everyone sort of arrive and they're like, you know what? She's like the best soldier we've ever had, kind of thing. We're going to have like this whole sort of moment where they honor her in front of the family and everything. And I think like some of this movie, like some of these moments work on their own. It's just getting to those moments. Like the payoff doesn't work. Like I think, like it's kind of like the Lord of the Rings sort of moments. Like you need the journey.
Oh, yeah.
To get the satisfaction of those really kind of... like, if they were just on their own, they're kind of cheesy. Like, but those moments at the end.
In the Lord of the Rings...
the journey makes it work.
Yeah, the journey in Lord of the Rings is really... it's like, done well.
If you look at, like, the scene where... like, I think someone's dubbed it over online and it's fantastic. But the scene where they go to... I think it's Rivendell.
Rivendell?
At
the end.
At the end, and it's all in slow motion.
Where they're all like, very happy and laughing.
Someone's dubbed it over online. It's so good.
It's so funny.
Is that the one where he's like, you want to hear a joke?
And no. It's just they've just put oohs and ahs over like actually like what you'd hear. Because it's like the swell of the music over, like there's no dialogue or anything. There's just like faint sort of sounds kind of thing. And there's just like the look of Frodo and Gandalf and that kind of thing. And it's really all slow motion and everything like that. But but if you just had that scene on its own and you didn't have the build up and the journey that gets to that scene, it doesn't have the emotional weight of like everything that they've gone through. The characters have gone through so much that you really appreciate those moments. And I actually still really like that the Return of the King has like so many endings because it feels earned because you've gone through so much kind of thing. Whereas this, I think in a better movie, this ending would feel so rewarding because it still works almost on its own, but she doesn't have the journey that got to that place where you can go, oh, this is a moment that really means something kind of thing. The fact that her family thinks that she's been very dishonorable and all this sort of stuff, and the whole redemption of the characters of coming around to seeing her as an honorable character, that would have so much more emotional weight if we actually seen that change in any of those characters. If it was like, you know what? Yeah, you are honorable now kind of thing. Like that, it has nothing to it. Yeah. But yeah, that's where like this movie, I kind of compare it to the final season of Game of Thrones, where you have points of a good story, but you don't have the journey that gets to those good points kind of thing.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
You just jump across things and like stepping stones, but you haven't had like, you know, the sequences of almost downtime or
character development. We're going to commit to the fan service instead of actually, but like we're going to ignore doing actually any story writing or anything in between.
Yeah.
We're just going to just focus on fan service and give all the fans everything that they want. And then it's going to be good.
And then like, it just loses all that emotional weight, unfortunately.
And especially particularly when not all fans want all the same things. Suddenly.
Yes. Oh. For sure.
Okay. Whoops. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is very unfortunate. But yeah, that's where I'm at with this movie. Where does this movie land for you guys out of Birds? Where is it landing? Is it soaring or is it flipping? We didn't actually answer that at the beginning.
I dodged that because I wasn't sure. Yeah. But I think it's definitely flipping for me. Yeah. Even after having talked about it, I'm like, the cons just outweigh the pros. Like I can't.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
They just do. Yeah.
Unfortunately, So where for me, though? How many?
Probably like two.
Be careful, feet.
I almost said 2.5, but I didn't.
Did you give any Gerard Butler movies too? Just remember, keep it in context.
But I definitely don't want to watch it again. I'm happy with two.
Gerard Butler movies or all of them.
Every movie that I've watched for this podcast, I never want to watch again. You guys need to get me onto something better. Who is choosing the movies?
For a second late, like, because you were away, you were sick last week. I was like, we're not going to see Fee again. That's it. She's done. She's had it. She's not coming back.
I thought we'd burnt you out.
Yeah, I definitely did.
This is too much.
I was pretty 50-50 about tonight, actually.
I'm so glad you definitely chose wisely. So hopefully we do like see you back, you know, very soon, and hopefully we get to do something.
Gerard Butler month.
Shut up. Okay, here's the thing. While Paul's not here, and while he doesn't get a vote, let's commit to zero Gerard Butler movies for 2021. Hey. Zero. No, this is a non-Butler year. Let's do that. We had a full Butler month and zero Butler year. We need it. 2020 sucked. We need a Butler-free year.
Butler-free.
Please.
We'll see how we go. We'll see what we do. But where does this land for you, Dean? How many birds?
The fact that Jared Butler is definitely definitely a massive pro here. Yep. But I think I agree. There is definitely more cons to this. There are a few cool moments in between. I'm probably going to give it, it's 2.5, I'd say.
2.5?
It's very much in the middle ground for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm with you, Dean. Fiona. I think I'm with Fiona on this one. I think too. It's like there's moments in here that something could have worked.
Could have been
and
cool.
And it's kind of like, it's disappointing because there are like slight glimmers of almost hope, but then it's just so outweighed by all the trash in between.
Yeah.
Like it's just,
There are some cool moments of like, there are cool ideas that are kind of explored a little bit, and there are some cool, like cool elements of, you know, cool action sequences occasionally, and it's just not enough.
Not enough to sustain a whole movie.
Yeah, they're too few and too far between.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, nice.
So that brings us to the end of this week's episode. If you like the show and you want to support the show, you can visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/nerdsbeforebirds. You can contribute any amount starting at $1 a month, and that just helps us to keep the lights on. Otherwise, if you want to support us in another way, you can support us by writing us a nice 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to us on right now. And that helps us to just get out there and get us recognized and get some more listeners. And that's pretty much it. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Nerds Before Birds on all of those except for Nerds Before... Wait, what? What am I saying? I was like...
It's like you're so used to Paul being so a dick at this point. Paul.
It's so weird. Because Paul's usually butting in at some point.
You
and
now
like,
can't do like, this bit without the distraction.
Yeah, without the distraction. It's weird. I'm like, is someone going to interrupt? Is someone going to like stop? Like,
oh my gosh.
It doesn't feel you're pausing, waiting for it.
Like, yeah. But yeah, we're Nerds Before like, Birds.
I'm just so not used to this amount of respect. At this point, what's going on?
We're Nerds Before Birds on Instagram and Facebook. We're Nerds Before Bird singular on Twitter. I think I'm done for the night.
I think so.
Yeah, that's a good night for me.
Good night. See you later. Thanks for listening. Yay 2021.